Today we're going to continue with a look at the New Jerusalem, and so we've been doing that over the last few weeks, and this morning will be the last in the series of looking at the meaning of the New Jerusalem and its place as a living symbol within the context of our own life and how that relates to this whole concept of New Church Day and the Lord's second advent into the world by means of the Word, as a revelation of the internal sense of the Word. And so the Lord makes His presence felt and known by means of the Word, because He is in fact the Word. So our reading this morning from the Scriptures, we're taking a reading from the prophet Zechariah, in which he talks about Jerusalem, and he talks about Zion, and he talks about the state, or a coming state, of a place where people dwelling in Jerusalem and the Lord being present there. So we're going to be concentrating on that aspect this morning and looking at Jerusalem as a symbol of what the Lord is wanting to achieve in each and every one of our lives. And so as these things are built up within us as goods and truths become much more a part of our life, so not only are we brought into a fuller connection with the Lord Himself, but it is the means by which we are brought into connection with each other. And so spiritual growth and a focus on using truths as a matter of life on a daily basis is what is essential to being the church. The church is only a church in accordance with its understanding of the Word. And so through the heavenly doctrines, we are given an internal understanding of the Word, which gives us an understanding of how these things apply within us. And that knowledge is given so that we will take it and use it, so that the Lord can be built up in us as the goods and truths He has given to us. The first reading is from the Minor Prophets, from the prophet Zechariah. And it is chapter 8, and reading verses 1 through 9. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, and with fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I shall bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built." And just a single verse from Revelation 21, verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Our readings from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning, the first reading from the Arcana Celestia, number 402. In the word, city never means a city, but something doctrinal or else something heretical. For angels are totally ignorant of what a city is or what the name of any city is. They never do nor can have any city in mind, for their ideas are of spiritual and celestial things. Their perception is solely of what is meant spiritually by cities and the names of them. For example, by the holy city, which is also called the holy Jerusalem, they understand nothing other than the Lord's kingdom in general, or as it exists with each individual who has the Lord's kingdom within him. And the city of Zion, or Mount Zion, they understand in a similar way, the latter being the celestial degree of faith, the former the spiritual. And from the Arcana Celestia number 2336, subsection 2. The New Jerusalem is the Lord's kingdom, which, because it is being described as regards good and truth, is described by walls, gates, and streets. By the last of these, the streets, are meant all avenues of truth which lead to good, that is, all those of faith which lead to love and charity. So I don't know if you recognized it, but you perhaps would have noticed that in that reading from Zechariah, the number of times that that phrase, "Thus says Jehovah, the Lord of hosts," occurs quite a number of times there. And this statement in the word, wherever it says Jehovah says, means that what is said is. What Jehovah says is. Because the Lord's word is what is substantial. And so these things are things that are true. They exist. They are real. And while in terms of our existence here on earth, things may seem to progress in a linear kind of fashion through time, in the spiritual world, all things are simultaneously present to the Lord. And so we read there, "And the word of Jehovah is coming to me saying," this is how Zechariah opens this prophecy. So we need to remind ourselves that when we hear this, that we need to think from a spiritual context or in regard to our spiritual life. So this statement is in terms of what the word is continually saying and has always said, even before the prophet Zechariah was born into the world. These words are spoken forth from the divine himself. And for those who are open to hearing from the Lord, so these words are breathed into the very soul of their life, the very life that they are. And they work their way out, and they become manifest in things good and true. This is what the word of the Lord is. It is the Lord himself present with us. So whenever we come across this kind of statement in the Word, we are reminded that the Word is not just words on a page, but on a deeper level, it is the very laws of life being breathed into every human being. And prophets like Zechariah actually represent the Word. They represent the Lord because they teach what the Lord or what the Word is saying. And because they give an explanation as to what the word is saying, they also represent doctrine drawn from the word. And that doctrine are the spiritual teachings that we have, that we're able to take and apply to our own life. And so for this reason, every spiritual teaching that is genuine, that is from the Lord, is really an embodiment of the Lord's mercy. The Lord's provision of the word and the heavenly doctrines is an act of his mercy, for it shows that he is ever mindful of us and is ever conscious of our states of life. And something of this is in fact captured in the meaning of Zechariah's name, which means Jehovah has remembered. So the Lord is in constant remembrance of every human being, every spirit, every angel. For all and every human entity, the Lord watches over with His divine providence. He never ceases to remember us. The Lord never forgets. So the provision of the Word and the heavenly doctrines is the supreme form of the Lord's divine providence in action, because these teachings, they address the states of people in a way that looks to their eternal welfare. And in that respect, they are unlike any other kind of writing on earth. So what this passage from Zechariah is saying is that when we live from the Word and heed what it is saying, then certain things will take place within our life, within the life of our affections and thoughts. Things that will bring about an inner transformation in which our sensitivity to spiritual realities will be heightened. So we read that the Lord of hosts is zealous or jealous for Zion, and that He is jealous for her with great wrath. And if we are to understand what this means, then we need to understand what Zion represents in the Word in relation to the human mind. Zion and Jerusalem are often mentioned together in the Word. Now, Jerusalem, we know, is a city. And a city is a structure in which people live out their lives. Therefore, we have seen that spiritually it represents the structure of spiritual beliefs or thought drawn from the Word that people live in internally. For we all live in this external world, but we also live in the internal states of our mind. So in the Word, Jerusalem can either refer to a genuine or a corrupt structure of thinking in relation to the Word. And whether it is something positive in its symbolism or something negative has to do with the context that we find it in the Word. For example, as a genuine form of spiritual thought, it is referred to, as we have seen, as a city descending from God out of heaven. Whereas it is clearly used to represent something corrupt with regard to spiritual thought in Revelation 11:8, where it says of the two witnesses that their bodies will be on the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, it says of Jerusalem, "You have trusted in your beauty and have played the harlot because of your renown, so that you have poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by." So context is important when we are working with the meanings of things in the Word. But in general, Jerusalem as an internal reality reflected as some aspect of the human mind, it relates to the intellectual things of the mind, the doctrinal things. Whereas Zion, on the other hand, represents those things that are of the love or of the will. And this representation of Zion is taken from the fact that Zion or Mount Zion is an elevated area in Jerusalem. And in spiritual terms, what is higher or what is elevated always pertains to what is more internal, what is deeper. Ideas and concepts that belong to the intellectual faculty form around those things belonging to the will or the affections of the heart. In other words, the things belonging to our affections are more interior than those belonging to the thought. The heavenly doctrines teach that it is our loves that drive and direct our thoughts. So Zion takes its correspondence to be the deeper things of the mind or the things of love from it being a mountain or something more elevated. Spiritual thought structures or those ideas and concepts and beliefs represented by Jerusalem can take either a corrupt or a genuine form. And what determines the form these things have within the human mind is the underlying motive or love that organizes them into a reflection of itself. Zion represents that love, and like Jerusalem, can also have a positive or a negative attribution. And it all depends on the context that it finds itself in within the Word. But Zion, in the case of our reading this morning, is something the Lord is passionate about. And so we ask, what is it that the Lord is passionate about in regard to our own life? The Lord is passionate about your spiritual well-being. He's passionate about our sense of fulfillment, and He's passionate about our eternal happiness. The Lord desires to bring everyone into states of peace, of joy, of love, of happiness. He doesn't want us to be anxious or depressed or miserable. And so He has provided everything that He possibly can provide that can empower us so that we can leave such negative states behind and find a life grounded in higher states of life. But we need to leave behind what prevents this from happening. So the Lord has a passion to see that your life is centered on heavenly loves, heavenly affections, heavenly desires. And this is what is represented here by Zion. And why does He have this passion? Because ultimately it's only when our life is centered on what is heavenly that we can be truly at peace and fulfilled. If the loves and desires of heaven aren't the things that are forming our life, then the only alternative are the loves of self and the world. And these loves are described by the heavenly doctrines as diabolical. And when they dominate our life, we become slaves to destructive negative emotions and passions that can only bring misery into our experience of life. And so it is the Lord, by means of the Word, offers us another way. He offers us new loves, new desires, and new loves and desires that are filled with the things of heaven. These are given to people by no other means than through a conscious effort on their part to live from the truths that the Word teaches. Our states of life, how we think, how we feel, these reflect what we are in at any given moment. And our lives... And in turn, the way we feel, the way the states of life we experience, these are a product of some belief, some desire, and the quality of the state will be reflected, or will reflect rather, how close those beliefs and desires come to those of heaven. The closer the structure of our mind approaches what makes a heavenly pattern, the greater our capacity to receive love and wisdom into it. It is our willingness to do the work of building up our minds on those truths we acknowledge to be from the Lord that establishes our sense of self in higher things. Zion is representative of these higher things in relation to love, for it represents love to the Lord and love to our neighbour. Now, to love the Lord is to love what is good. And to love the neighbour is to love what is true. And good and truth, we saw last week in our reading from the heavenly doctrines, is the Lord. And because the Word is nothing but what is good and true, to love the Word, to love what is good, to love what is true, is to love the Lord. So how do we love the Word? We work with it so that it can govern the life of our affections, our thoughts, and our activities. The Word has everything in it needed for life on every level. If we love the Word, then we'll be actively seeking to understand it better. We will have a desire to read it often. We will make time to read and study the heavenly doctrines in relation to our inner and outer life. It is this process that leads to the reformation of our thinking and the regeneration of our will. It is this kind of work that brings us into touch with what is of heaven. And this kind of work, this inner work, is possible for us because the Lord, through revealing the internal meaning of the Word, has shown us how and why we need to compel ourselves to do this work. The rational light the heavenly doctrines provide into the Word provides us with all we need to take the steps we need to take in developing and cultivating a spiritual dimension to our lives. Therefore, the Lord says in the Gospels, from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, 35 and 36, he says this, "Yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness not overtake you. And the one walking in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Also, a similar meaning is expressed in Matthew 13, verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not give heed to it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart." This has to do with our responses to the light of truth we are given. And it teaches that we must use it while we can, for if we neglect to take our opportunities to work spiritually when we can, we may end up losing the desire to do so. When we work in response to truth, so the Lord has said, to return to Zion. This means that we are strengthened in spiritual loves, or our desire for spiritual things. As we are strengthened in our desire for spiritual things, so we find that the Word and the heavenly doctrines becomes more alive for us. What was once obscure begins to shine more and more fully, and we find our conviction grows as to how it is that the Word and the doctrines are the Lord with us. As this conviction grows, so we see that He dwells in the midst of those truths that we have had worked into our life. These truths being what are called Jerusalem, a name, incidentally, that means teaching of peace. This then is why it is said to be called a city of truth in verse 3. "For truth leads to good, and those who dwell in good or love are those who know the true peace that the Lord gives." This peace is what arises from the Lord in the mind that has been restructured around truths. For a mind structured according to spiritual truths is undivided and whole. It is complete, for all things within it exist in their proper relationship to divine laws. Such a mind is filled with the wisdom of love that orders all things within it. Its levels are consistent, so much so that what is lower corresponds to what is higher, and this gives a unity of purpose throughout. The depth of love and wisdom means that it is called the mountain of Jehovah of hosts, the holy mountain. A truly elevated state of mind is one in which the Lord dwells. As Jehovah of hosts, the Lord or Word, when truths are love, is able to stand against all that comes against what is heavenly within a person. This is because when a person freely takes up their responsibility to work on themselves spiritually, the truths that they have worked with become real and living in their experience. This kind of work means that they pass through many states of life as they are lifted out of the selfishness of their proprium, and through this process have their sense of self replanted in what is of the Lord. All this experience of going through these states, of working with truths, of examining ourselves, of repentance, all this experience translates into wisdom and a rich understanding of doctrine, not as a heady thing or something intellectual, but as something lived, something truly spiritual. The wisdom that comes from living truths through the many states of life that the processes of regeneration takes a person is what is described in verse 4 as old men and old women sitting in the streets of Jerusalem, and each man with his staff in his hand because of their many days. Old men and old women in the word don't mean the elderly. Rather, and particularly in this context, they correspond spiritually to the wisdom of those who have lived a life of self-examination and corrective action or repentance. And so they have an experiential understanding of the truths of the Word and the heavenly doctrines in relation to their own states of mind. And because they have that wisdom, they are able to perceive and reflect on the processes of others, and so offer what is needed when it is needed as the Lord requires it. They are sensitive to spiritual realities. Such a life also sees the growth of innocence, of a wisdom that looks to the spiritual welfare of all and seeks to do no harm. This innocence, the innocence of wisdom, arises from a willingness to be led by the Word alone, and it is found in the midst of the truths that a person uses in life. And here in this part of the scriptures that we read this morning, this innocence found in truths lived is symbolically described as the streets of the city, full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Boys and girls in the Word correspond to innocence, and streets to doctrines or spiritual teachings that form spiritual paths, spiritual avenues that lead toward good. So all these things describe what is meant by the New Jerusalem. Above all else, we see that the Lord has a passion for the spiritual welfare of all people, and that He has provided what is needed for those people to enter into the fullness of the life He offers. And so it is, He says in verses 7 and 8, "Behold, I will save my people from the rising sun," that is, from the love of self, "and from the land of the setting sun," that is, the absence of love. "And I will bring them, and they shall live in the midst of Jerusalem," that is, they will live in the wisdom of love. "And they shall be for a people to me, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." the Lord and His second coming makes this possible for us. We only need to embrace the life He offers as our own. And so He says in verse 9, "Let your hands be made strong, you who hear in these days the words of the mouth of the prophets, that in the day the house of Jehovah of hosts is founded." Amen.